Welcome back, everybody, to Hoops HD. This is our Wednesday night Under the Radar podcast coming to you on Thursday, January 7th. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by
Thursday
Griggs and Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org. This is our Under the Radar podcast, a day late. There was a couple things that were a little bit more important than basketball going on in the world yesterday, and I'll kind of leave it at that. But David, this is our Under the Radar podcast. So
it is.
Start by telling people what it means to be under the radar.
It means you're essentially in a what's normally a one-bid league. So there's 22 of them. 21 are playing this year. The Ivy isn't. And it's essentially like it's not the Power Five, so it's not the Big East, Big Ten, Pac-10, or Big East, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, or ACC. And it's not the other five regular multi-bid leagues. I just completely missed. We can't start over either.
We're no. Okay, it's not the Big East.
It's not the Power Five, and it's not the Big East, Mountain West, West Coast, American, or I always forget one.
The A-10.
A-10. It's the other 21 regular multi-bid leagues.
Regular single-bid leagues. Yeah, Dave, you did awful tonight.
I have.
Yeah, all the 21 single-bid leagues, even though some of these teams could get out. I mean, occasionally do see multiple bids out of these leagues, but more often than not, these leagues are all single-bid leagues.
What an awful start we
were on. anybody, if you skipped ahead by accident to here, don't go back. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
But what we like to do on this show is go through all the conferences. Then at the end, we'll unveil our under-the-radar top 10 and – I would like to start with a feature conference. We switch it up every week with a different feature conference. And this week I'm going to one that I probably not that big of a surprise given how good the team at the top of it is. We have not yet featured it this season. But I want to start the season in the Big South this week. And it's not because of USC Upstate's exciting two wins over Longwood for a team that looked like one of the worst teams in college basketball heading into those games. But
they were exciting wins.
It's because of Winthrop. And Rocco, let me start off with you here. And this Winthrop team that is now 9-0, number one tempo in the nation, having some pretty good metrics there as well.
They play under control at a fast pace. It's really impressive. 145th ranked defense for a Big South team is not bad either. You know, a lot of those defenses are high 200s, low 300s. So, you like what you've seen on the resume, you know, a couple pieces of meat on the bone with Little Rock and Furman and Greensboro, who just had a big win. We'll talk about them later. I think with the double dip format where you go back-to-back days, despite how much distance Winthrop has put between them and probably the second best team in this league, it is proving to be very difficult to win both games. They had very close call with Charleston Southern on Tuesday this week. We're able to get away with a 2-point win. And then Campbell last week, they overcame just crazy shooting from the Camels, 63%, and mainly because they got to the free throw line 50 times. They're going to need some breaks like that to get these sweeps, despite, you know, being, you know, overall body of work and just caliber of ball club. Just with this format, I think it's going to be hard for them to do the full sweep, but really impressive team and a dangerous out if they can get the auto bid.
Yeah, David, when you look at the upcoming schedule there for Winthrop as well, the road trips are High Point, Presby, Charleston Southern, but that double road trip to Radford especially, that there are games here where they could slip up despite the fact that they are, I mean, you look at their net is 46. Everybody else is 240 plus pretty much. Other.
Yeah, it's hard to run the table under normal circumstances, and I don't know if it's easier or harder this year, but it certainly is different, especially when you look at it's not just back-to-back games, it's back-to-back games in back-to-back days. And when you beat a team, especially if it's a close game or an emotional game, and that team gets a do-over less than 24 hours later, sometimes it's hard to beat them again. And, if they're able to run through this and do that, that is really impressive. But even if they don't, I think there's going to be so much distance between them and whoever's in second place. And I'm assuming that they're going to try and have the conference tournament with the regular format. Are they?
As far as we've seen so far, they have not announced any change to the conference tournament format yet.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, that would mean that they would be hosting it, and, like, you would hope that they could beat it. But I guess my question is there a margin of error here? I can't imagine that if they run the table and go undefeated, that the committee wouldn't take them even if they didn't win the conference tournament.
So you think that they're at large caliber even if they don't win the bid? Is that what you're saying,
Mr. If Drew? They win – okay, let me clarify.
Where are the quality wins, though, David? I mean, especially if you have two losses in there.
One. They haven't lost any.
Okay. So you just say one conference tournament loss and that's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you got to take them if that happens, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But a couple losses, it's tough because probably only looking at 25 total games. And you got three really good, but not like over the top inside the bubble non-conference wins, but three good ones.
Yeah, not getting any love from the voters yet, I don't think.
Not a single vote.
Yet. And not that you would I mean, I would think that by now they'd be getting at least one or two, but if they keep winning, it might be the end, it might be the middle of February, but they will get into the poll eventually.
Oh, their games, it looks like it's Saturday and Sunday at High Point is what they're currently scheduled again. Who knows with some of these teams, they have Longwood next week.
They've done some switching. It's Longwood now this week.
Okay, Longwood this week, thanks.
I'm sorry, that's the 14th and 15th, so no games this week for Winthrop.
Okay, no games this week, and then they get the Longwood games there. That we see the Thursday game, next Thursday's game is there. I think it's Thursday, Friday next week.
That's correct.
And I think the Big South did build in a week here at the end of the season as well, so there is some room to make up some games. If you miss two games, it's easy. If you miss four games, it becomes a little more difficult, obviously.
Right.
But in the Big South, you know, most of these are bus rides, so I think they're in pretty good shape so far.
Yeah, I mean, you might be looking at having to make games up on a Tuesday, Wednesday, and then play Saturday, Sunday as well, something like that.
Right.
What they really need is an ACC team.
They have room on their schedule. I think they could add a game. Let's go ahead and go through the rest of the conferences then here. We're going to go through them in alphabetical order, starting with the America East, where we started the season talking about Vermont. Rocco, I'm not even – don't know that I want to talk much about Vermont anymore. After the – I mean, it was technically a split, but it was a pair of home games with Albany, and they lost the first of the two and weren't that impressive in the second one that they won.
Yeah, this Vermont team, it just feels like without Anthony Lamb and a few of the other role players from years the last couple of years that we became accustomed to seeing, they haven't been able to mesh the same way or be any resemblance of dominant yet, and really struggling. Steph Smith's still there, but man, he played really poorly in the Albany series. Ryan Davis stepped up, and so did Ben Chiangu. But it's a little surprising. Obviously, the Catamounts had a late start to the year, so in an abbreviated season like this, perhaps they hit their stride. Perhaps a couple weeks from now, but so far we haven't seen any signs of that.
Yeah, we haven't. And David, we look at the standings. They didn't play this past week. Though Stony Brook and UMBC are still the top two teams. And maybe it is between the two of them. New Hampshire got the split against Maine. And this is now the longest consecutive running rivalry in the entire nation because of some games that have been canceled this year, because of the Ivy League not playing this year.
That's incredible.
New Hampshire and Maine is now the longest running consecutive year rivalry in the entire nation. So congrats.
How long is it? Holy crap.
I think it's about well over 100 years. Rocco probably has that number, right?
Yeah.
It's close. I don't know the number.
I think it was like 112 years, something like that now. It's a lot.
Impressive.
Zach has it, and he would be able to recite the results.
I think we are getting UMBC back on the court at New Hampshire, at least according to the schedule here. Rocco, is that true?
We've got, I believe it is. Confirming, and yes, it's happening Saturday, Sunday, in Durham, New Hampshire.
All right, so that should be a good series there. Stony Brook's still not on the schedule though for at least another week here, David.
Yeah,
they're on pause. Yeah.
All right, David, over in the Atlantic Sun, we've been talking up Liberty. I think all season they did suffer a bit of a setback against Lipscomb though, and.
Lipscomb team that hadn't looked good at all this year. So a bit of a surprise. And, based on what Liberty had done prior to this, I thought they were just going to absolutely blow this conference away. And then they lost their very first game.
Yeah, they did. But they did bounce back with winning the second game of that back-to-back games. You know, technically, I guess Rocco Jacksonville is in first place, and they've got, I believe, their big rivalry series coming up this week.
They do, River City Rumble, baby. So that came together through some other teams having to shut down, rearranging opponents, and now we have it this week. So those two teams will get after each other. You know, Jacksonville last week played two really tight games against Kennesaw. Again, I think I've talked about Kennesaw on every show. But one of these weeks they'll break through. I thought they were going to win each of those games, and they ended up finding a way to lose them both.
Kennesaw's got Liberty this week on the road.
This is the time to show up, guys.
Yeah. If they show up for Liberty, I quit.
They're officially on the map, right?
Yeah.
Liberty's off the map.
Right, yeah.
Let's jump over to the Big Sky Conference, where we have a couple games actually going on right now. Southern Utah is up early in the second half as we record this. Over Idaho, but only by 5 points, which is very bad Idaho team.
Yeah, very bad
and Idaho. And we really like the Southern Utah, so hopefully they turn around and blow this out the rest of the way here, David.
Right, yeah. Not a good showing. It's their first game in a while, maybe knocking off some rust, but Idaho. I think the three of us could beat Idaho.
Rocco, though, beyond Southern Utah, I mean, when you look at the standings here, not much was played this week, although I think we got to talk about Montana actually splitting with Northern Colorado.
Yeah, that was a really good finish to each game. Northern Colorado stealing the Saturday game and then almost coming back to steal the Monday game, but Montana held them off. So a good split overall. That's a win for Northern Colorado, I think, being on the road. And but now Northern Colorado goes out tonight. They're down 9 in the last minute, so it looks like they'll lose to Montana State. This Montana State team is one of the teams we talked about earlier this year. Started the year with the big win at UNLV, also took Pacific to overtime. So they've got some potential. Unfortunately, Eastern Washington was put on pause again, so we won't be seeing them for another 10 days. But, overall, I'm really enjoying what's happening in the Big Sky. I think a lot of these programs that have been down are starting to come back up. Idaho State, another road win today, another capable team. So, yeah, I like it.
And they'll be playing again at Northern Arizona on Saturday. And I know, David, you're looking really forward to that Whitworth at Montana game.
I
assume that's a fill-in for one of the games, the teams that got canceled.
I will have multiple TVs on that game in case, like, I miss something on one of the TVs, in case one of them breaks.
I've never heard of Whitworth before. That's a new one for me. We're getting a little bit of action, Rocco, but not much so far. Still in the Big West. We only had a couple games. These teams are having so much trouble getting games in. UCSB, though, bounced back from their bad week the week before and did pick up a pair of wins over Fullerton.
They did. And Fullerton, really good to see them on the court finally. It was a long layoff for them. So, if anything, it's – and they were competitive in the second one. So – that was a good stepping stone for a league that has so many teams, as you mentioned, struggling to get on the court. Also really good news here coming up this weekend. UC San Diego was able to schedule two out-of-conference games with in-conference games.
They're not on the screen there. I just saw that they just got Irvine for this weekend when I believe whoever else they were supposed to play did – And so I think they're supposed to play Northridge. I think those games got shut down, but they got their Irvine home games coming up. That'll be, I believe, Friday and Saturday nights.
Yes, I think it's Saturday, Sunday, but you could be right. Either way, we're hopefully going to see them play. We've gotten like within 2 hours of tip off with them before and lost the game. So you don't know until that last minute.
I also believe Hawaii is playing this weekend. Correct.
Yeah, so Hawaii UC Riverside on the schedule for now. Again, don't bank on it until like 5 minutes before tip-off.
That is a long way to travel to have a game canceled.
Yeah, Hawaii is apparently the games are scheduled for tomorrow, for Friday night and Saturday night, so they should be traveling sometime tomorrow. So if they get on that plane.
It's right. Yeah, very intriguing too, because we haven't seen Hawaii really play a D1 at all. And Riverside had such a great story going in non-conference, and then they've been shut down about a month now. So we have a lot to learn in these two games with Hawaii and Riverside.
It should be interesting. David, over in the Colonial conference that I've honestly been pretty darn disappointed with and pretty much everything I've seen out of it so far.
Yeah, you want to try and like Hofstra. I still think that I'm still waiting for them to get their motor started.
They did have it tonight at home to Northeastern, though.
Yeah, and you want to like Hofstra. I'm still trying to, but they did lose tonight at home to Northeastern, who's won three conference games and only one other game. A league, you know, and Drexel has showed us a lot. No conference games for them yet. Maybe they can make some noise. College of Charleston, normally pretty good. I'm a big fan of Earl Grant. Not good this year. Hofstra, who we thought would be the flagship program of the league, not really showing it. And Northeastern, who was absolutely abysmal out of conference, in first place tonight.
I guess this is what I think. The only teams I really keep an eye on now is Northeastern. You got to win their 3-0, and Drexel, who I still think is going to be good. But, you know, I mean, is there another team in here? I mean, are we overlooking UNC Wilmington when they finally get played? Is that a team we could, you know, maybe like?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've been playing again. They played their last three games were Norfolk State, Campbell, and Delaware State. So it's like, take it with a big grain of salt. But yeah. I think as soon as they got Pigeon eligible, their dynamics changed a lot. They're starting to play better every time out. I've just so happened to be watching them. I think they've had a lot of mid-afternoon games for me out here in the West Coast. So I really like what they're bringing, but we haven't seen them play in conference yet. So there's still a lot of mystery with them. And same with Drexel. A lot of mystery with Drexel, but good potential. I thought Northeastern and Hofstra, I mean, I don't care what season it is. It's always worth watching them play each other. When you have Coach Mahalik and Coach Cohen, I mean, it's like two of the best X's and O's guys you can find that are just pure basketball minds. And, you know, Hofstra had a 19-point lead in the second half today. Northeastern came storming back to take the lead. It was crazy. Just an awesome game to watch. Made my Flow Hoops subscription worth the price of admission.
You get it again on Saturday also.
Saturday. And it's in Boston on the next one. They're going home and away. So anyway, just watch those two teams whenever they play each other, no matter what you think of them overall.
Yeah, UNC Wilmington was a heck of a story last year. Wasn't it last year in midseason that they fired their head coach and suddenly started winning like crazy? It was I mean, they were awful last year until they made the coach, if you recall.
That is correct.
CUSA, Rocco, I'm still having trouble figuring out these divisions standings here. The big story, Conference USA, you called it last week. I'll give you all the credit for it. Western Kentucky goes to Charlotte, barely escapes in game one, and does not escape in game two.
I'm telling you that the Charlotte plays that pack line Virginia style defense. And I mean, it's Western Kentucky, you know, they play through Charles Bassey down low, and, you know, really good guard play, Hollingsworth and the crew they have, but that just threw them fits. I mean, it's kind of like a really tough draw to open your conference season on the road at Charlotte back-to-back days. If they would have escaped that, it would have been a big hats off, honestly, despite Charlotte's ranking. It's just all about matchups, as you guys know. But I do think them getting Louisiana Tech at home, Louisiana Tech likes to play a little faster. They had a great, week with Marshall. Marshall lucky to get a split against them.
Yeah, they were.
But I thought La Tech played great both games. This is a little better matchup for WKU, and they need to get them both on their home court.
Yeah, West Kentucky, a pair of home games. Marshall, though, doing kind of switching up here. David, Marshall gets Charlotte, but although these games are at home for Marshall this week.
Yeah, still a bit of a tough matchup for them, though. And then, you know, everybody, again, with this new schedule, splitting that. So it splits across the board.
Amazingly, Rice was the only one to get a sweep.
Yeah, I know.
I think they were underdogs in both games.
Yeah. Now, we still have UAB, who's only lost one so far in the season, and they get Southern Miss for two at home this week. I assume those games are a go.
I think they
will probably be 2-0 next week.
And yeah. Unfortunately, I just realized the Marshall series did get canceled. They had a case today.
Marshall Charlotte games.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate. That was a good series. But UAB, great mention. I think out of all the teams with no losses, they're the best. But North Texas
and no wins.
And no wins. Yeah, but still no losses. That's the key. North Texas also definitely worth keeping on your radar. They're going to be a tough out for anybody.
They lost to Loyola Chicago to non-conference game this week. But it's a very good Loyola Chicago team though. Yeah.
And they hung in there all game. They showed that they play at a pretty high caliber for this league.
Let's jump over, David, to the Horizon League. Another conference where I think it was last week that I was sitting here saying how good I really thought this Wright State team was. They go on, they crush Oakland on Friday night, and yeah. Then comes Saturday, the back-to-back thing again, biting them in the ass, honestly. Oakland with a 10-point win, yeah.
Yeah, a real big surprise against, with – what we thought was the best team in the league, a really good defensive team, taking on one of the worst teams in the league, or at least that they'd looked at, and not getting the win. Oakland coming to life a little bit here, 3-3 in conference after losing all 7 of their out-of-conference games. And then Cleveland State, another team that I wasn't particularly excited about really at any point, 6-0 in conference play.
They get 2 wins over IUPUI. It's not a very good IUPUI team. I mean, they've only played 3 times, but
we don't know.
I haven't seen anything much out of it. I haven't seen anything that tells me they're good. But Youngstown State, Rocco, also continues to disappoint. I mean, they should have swept Green Bay. Green Bay is not a good – it was Green Bay's first win of the season when they beat Youngstown over the weekend.
Yeah, Youngstown's just smelling more and more like a middle-of-the-pack team with some potential. A little bit of lofty expectations coming into the year. They weren't quite ready, it looks like, here from enough results. But you're right. I think Cleveland State is just a tremendous story. Demoy Hodge, I think he's the best mid-major – or sorry, we don't use that word here. We use under the radar.
So
he's the best under the radar JUCO player in the nation. He was ranked 7th overall. The first 6 all went to power schools. And he had that crazy 46-point game. I mean, he's dynamite to watch. And not only is he just a freelance scorer, but he's learning how to play more within the offense. And Coach Gates is doing a fabulous job.
Yeah, a couple of series coming up this week. Youngstown is at Wright State. See what happens with that. UIC, I believe, is back on the court again at Fort Wayne. At least it's on the schedule here. So we did like this UIC team. Finally get to see them with a little more action here as well. Cleveland State hosting NKU. David, as we do it every week, the next conference is completely up to you. So give us some in-depth analysis.
It's going exactly as you would expect it to go.
No upsets at all this week.
None at all.
Very vanilla league.
Yeah, really, even a lot of parody in that league.
But in all seriousness,
Siena's been on the court. Did you see it? They play.
Here we go. Siena 2-0, a 1-point win over Monmouth on Sunday. They followed up with a 14-point win on Monday. 2-0. David, undefeated.
Yeah, one of the big teams. Yeah, one of the undefeated teams in the country. They need some out of conference games, but nice to see them out there. I think that they were the team that we liked most out of the league. St. Peter's, who was somebody that I liked, kind of dipping below you.
Very bad week.
Against the Canisius team that didn't seem all that good. But a lot of these teams, Canisius, Siena in particular, they just can't seem to get on the court.
Yeah, but now that Siena's playing a Rocco, I think this team's for real. I mean, sweeping Monmouth, even though it was at home, sweeping Monmouth is impressive.
Very impressive. 42 days without playing. We've seen a lot of these teams come after really long layoffs and not – it takes them like 3-4 games to get their legs.
They haven't played since March. It's not 42 days. It's a lot longer than that.
Well, I'm just counting since when other teams started playing. But
I believe I was actually at their last game. So
I think you were. That's a very fun fact. So I think, with Pickett and the roster they have, that's the team to beat. Iona's got some athletes, and if Pitino gets them going, you have to treat that as a threat.
They're shut down right now.
And Canisius, unfortunately, got shut down after their big week. So It looks like we had to scramble some matchups, and now Siena's going to Fairfield this week.
Siena's going to Fairfield. We've got also here Quinnipiac, I think, who is coming back out of their shutdown hosting Manhattan. They'll get their first debut conference games.
Yeah.
So they are also undefeated along with Siena in this league.
Yeah, Fairfield getting no problem for them getting games. They're having problems winning games.
Yeah, 11 games.
They have
games,
gotten a lot impressive. Of random games.
Yeah.
Two more games and they'll be eligible.
Right, yeah.
Hey, when you need an opponent, call Fairfield.
Yeah.
Rocco, again, I'm used to seeing – let's go to a conference. I'm used to seeing divisions in it. We don't have them this year in the Mid-American Conference, but we do have three teams now off to very good starts in Bowling Green, Toledo, and Akron.
I agree. I like what we saw from Toledo, especially the game at Kent State the other day. I thought it was a weird game time and a thrown-together game, I think, last minute, maybe – 48 hours in advance. Spencer Littleson, oh my goodness. He 8 for 10 from three. And Toledo, you know, they're kind of live by the three, die by the three, but with a little more structure to it than like a Helter Skelter Samford type of team. And they've been running the system for a long time now. And they're starting to really get some big results. Obviously, winning at Marshall was big. Starting 4-0 in the MAC. And I like a lot of the teams in the MAC this year.
Yeah.
Toledo's playing at a level that's worthy of recognition. And I think Bowling Green, not that we didn't think they were going to be good, they were kind of struggling a lot early. They're starting to blow teams out and becoming a lot more dangerous in the last week or two. So, and like you said, Akron, they were kind of my pick just with their scheme they run. I think it's tricky for opposing teams to prepare for. There's a lot of good here to like. And you know, Buffalo's a really quality team as well.
Buffalo, I believe that they get back in action this weekend. At least it's on my schedule here.
Yeah,
with Ball State and Western Michigan after they've been shut down for a while. But actually, we should see all four of those teams should be winning their games this week. None of them are facing each other. And other than those four teams, the Ball State series, Ball State's the only team that I've seen any life out of at all, I think, so far. But
yeah.
Well, Ohio as well, when Preston's healthy, and Toledo's got them. That should be good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You're right. Yeah. That's probably the game of the week there. Ohio at Toledo coming up Friday night here.
In Toledo, or not? Excuse me. Ohio kind of struggling in conference play after looking so good out of conference.
Correct.
Right. Let's go to another conference that's got new divisions this year. The 5 and 4 team divisions of the MEAC, where they are only going to be playing within their own divisions, even during conference play, as we are. Just started to get the first few conference games in. David, we have not even seen Norfolk State, who we like the best, play a conference game yet, though.
Right, yeah. So that's basically – I don't know if there's much more to say than that. I do like this Norfolk State team, and we haven't really seen them play. SC State, Jesus.
They get Morgan State, just beat James Madison last week, coming up here for their two games this weekend. Delaware State has Howard. NC Central has FAMU. Rocco, Delaware State or South Carolina State? Who's the worst team in Division I? That might be the biggest question here.
That's the secondary game.
There's some teams in other leagues that are worthy of consideration. I know Chicago State's done playing, but we also got to consider Mississippi Valley. They're pretty bad. But I would say South Carolina State. I think they've been really awful. And I mean, not showing much signs of life in any of their games. So I'll go with the Bulldogs. And they actually got swapped around. I think it's a little different than the schedule you have. South Carolina State and FAMU times two this week. And then you've got actually a really good series, I think, Saturday and Sunday. That's right. Morgan State at Norfolk State.
Maybe Morgan Norfolk State, yes. If you're going to watch any regular season games in the MEAC this year, two, they'll actually play four times because they will play two games at Morgan as well, the way that everyone's going to play each other four times this season.
See what happens with Howard, too. You know, if Maker can come back, that'd be great.
Yeah, you kind of feel bad about that. And we don't want to forget about that. Like, they were supposed to kind of have a showcase here with Maker, like one of the better players in college basketball, an NBA lottery type prospect, injured and not out there. And plus, you know, you kind of hate to see that Well, I mean, you hate to see the pandemic anyway, but like, how much fun would that have been for Howard and their students and their fans under normal circumstances with him in the arena?
And they've got coming up next week a big game when they're hosting Notre Dame in a non-conference game. Nationally televised game coming up here. I think it's on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, and that would have been a sellout. I mean, that would have been a showcase for a school and really a conference that doesn't get many showcases like that. So I just kind of hate, again, that we're in the middle of COVID. I wish the two of you would figure it out and fix it.
Working on that. Sorry, Mr. Green. Yeah.
Rocco, we may not be talking about a team in the Missouri Valley Conference come next week because Drake is on the verge of getting to the top 25, missing it by 7 spots in the coaches' poll after an unbelievably impressive week this week with two blowout wins over Southern Illinois.
Well, the Bulldogs, I mean, such a fun story, blowing everybody out. They've only had one game of the 13 land in single digits. The other 12 all double-digit wins or more. It's awesome. I mean, they're playing at such a fun style. They're not turning the ball over. They're scoring a lot of points. They get it done defensively. I think if they do get in the top 25, they're going to have to earn it because they've got Loyola Chicago on Sunday and Monday. Yep. They got to win that first one to get ranked.
But they win those two games. Well, at least the first game, you know,
they got to win the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait for those two games though. I don't pay much attention to the rankings anyway, but I have to, cause the show we have on Monday. So I'll be making extra sure to watch it for that. But I can't wait. And I think this league is just full of amazing stories as usual. You've got Evansville, unbelievable. They swept Northern Iowa last week. I mean, nobody would have predicted that. It's Mr. Licklider just putting together an amazing patch up job. You know, they didn't even win a conference game last year after all the turmoil. So, they've completely turned it around. 3-1 in the league.
Yeah, yeah. David, Missouri State as well, you know, a pair of wins over the Trees. The Trees now 0-4, but maybe it's because Missouri State swept them.
Well, yeah. I mean, again, one of the better Missouri State definitely a team to keep an eye on. But what a week for this conference. I don't know if it'll be the feature conference next week, but it might be. But to get both of those games back-to-back, that's just a really unique and interesting situation, the Drake-Loyola-Chicago games. And I'm glad Rocco mentioned Evansville. Todd Licklider, a really, really good coach. I know Brad Stevens is probably the guy that's up on the billboard for all the great things he did at Butler, but the ball actually kind of got rolling before that when Licklider was there. He is a really good coach that's had success, albeit not in the Big Ten when he was at Iowa, but I think he's going to get Evansville going. Maybe not this year, but I think that the long-term health of that program is in good shape with him at the helm.
Yeah, I mean, the 3-1, you got to look – when you look at their metrics, their metrics are not good at all, but they are 3-1. I think it might be a factor of Northern Iowa just not having anything yet. Northern Iowa is hosting Bradley for a pair this week. Evansville's got Illinois State. Again, assuming these games are a go, you never know. Mm-hmm. One of our favorite leagues, the Northeast Conference, after a couple weeks off for the holidays, finally back in action. And congratulations, first of all, Rocco, to the undefeated first place Merrimack Warriors finally getting back on the court today.
Welcome back, Merrimack. And, for all of our fans out there watching this, we just want you to know we did it on purpose a day late this week so we could talk about the NEC results.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
We didn't want to do that yesterday. We didn't have anything to talk about yesterday. It's all about this league. Merrimack gets back on the court tonight. After getting kind of just blown away in the first half, rallied all the way back, gets the thing into OT, and does it only how Merrimack can in the high 90s. 97-90. Anyway, Joe Gallo, great story.
We got to work on that KenPom tempo number. Now they've played a game, it's going to change a bit from the 323 was this morning.
Yeah.
It's going to change a bit from that 323 was this morning, probably up to like top 10. But
yeah, it'll be the biggest jump in history.
So, yeah, I think that's a great story. I think Bryant is becoming more and more.
Peter Kiss tonight for Bryant and their win, triple-double, first-ever triple-double in Bryant school history.
Wow.
Fantastic.
Ex-Rucker, so very briefly, player there.
If you want to talk about number one in tempo right now, that's Bryant's belt to be taken away. So.
Yeah, Merrimack's up there, but, oh, man, back in action. But, yeah, you're exactly right, Rocco. The reason we delayed it was because of the Northeast Conference.
There are more, lots more games coming up. In fact, I think the Wagner FDU game you see on there, that series was canceled. That's why it's listed there, but it didn't actually happen. But Bryant is SFPA next week. But the teams are all going to be playing again tomorrow here on Friday.
Right. And as good as they were today, of course they're playing tomorrow. I can't wait.
David, Ohio Valley Conference, where actually not on the screen there, Eastern Illinois just beat Murray State tonight, and a Murray State team that is now 1-4 in conference and quickly fading out of it. But Belmont continued to be impressive.
Yeah, Murray State, one of the preseason favorites, certainly not on that perch anymore. Neither is Austin Peay, who's only, you know, slightly better. But Belmont running away from this league. I think it's theirs. Eastern Kentucky looking really impressive. They're fun to watch. They shoot the ball well. They've had a
big win against Jacksonville State tonight. Yes.
Yeah. And they're a pressure team. But again, it's going to be really fun to see what they can do when they play Belmont. Just such contrasting styles between two teams that are really well coached. And you know, what's more fun than a game like that one? But still, I just think Belmont's the team to beat in this league.
I am still keeping half an eye on this Eastern Illinois team, Rocco. They, like I mentioned, it's not on the screen there. They are now 2-1 in conference with the win over Murray State tonight. But really, Belmont is heads and shoulders above everybody, I think.
I think they deserve that. Yeah, I do think this Eastern Kentucky team is pretty dangerous. Jacksonville State as well. Not the same class yet as Belmont. But Eastern Kentucky's point guard, freshman, scored 30 in their win over the weekend, Wendell Green Jr., and tonight had 15, not as great of a game. He didn't make any threes, but he played pretty well in overtime. Amazing story. He had a lot of big offers. He went to La Lumiere, who's one of those – crazy basketball-only schools up in Indiana, and a lot of their guys go, like Isaiah Stewart went to Washington from there. Crazy that he picked EKU. They'll have him at least for this year. It's a fun story. I think also there's, you know, just this middle tier with Jacksonville State in there, as you said, Eastern Illinois. Who knows where Murray State's going to land? They're obviously way down right now, but – they got good players and a good coach, so it's not hard to foresee them coming right back by the time we get to February. So this is a fun league to watch.
SEMO has had a little more life than the record has shown as well. You know, just a team that
close.
They're playing close. They're not getting a lot of wins, but they're playing close, and they may pick somebody off here as we go through the season as well. Rocco, let me stick with you over in the three-division Patriot League, which unfortunately holds the remaining two teams in the entire nation that do intend to play this season but have not gotten a game in yet in both American and Loyola. Everybody else was 1-1.
Else is 1-1 except Navy. Got the sweep over Bucknell. Navy and Army were teams we all agreed we liked what we saw in their, you know, limited action early on.
Army did not do very well, though, on Saturday.
Not on Saturday, but unbelievable turnaround. You know, I think Ken Pomeroy was tweeting about that, one of the biggest turnarounds for a back-to-back all year. You know, losing that bad and winning the next day. pretty impressive. But, yeah, I think, you know, another story I think we got to mention is we had our first game with all masks, which was Boston U and Holy Cross. That's a Boston U policy only, where they're going to wear masks in all of their games. And then when they're at home, both teams will wear masks. But I think what we saw out of all that, it was a little to do about nothing. Most of the players had them hanging below their mouth.
Right.
Below their nose.
They were wearing a mask, technically, yes.
They checked the box. So
well, I guess if you wrap it around your arm, you'd be wearing a mask, right? I mean, yeah. It was about as good as that. But.
And both teams won while wearing the mask on the road. So there you go. Who knows? Maybe it's good luck.
David, an upcoming schedule here. I know that I see American Loyola on here. I don't know if those games are actually a go or not at this point. Hopefully they are, but Army's got Holy Cross, Navy's got Loyola, allegedly.
Yeah, those are the ones that I'm kind
of. Loyola's off.
The Loyola games are off. Okay.
And American and Loyola are out, but everybody else has been paired up. So everybody else will be in action.
All right. David, over in the Southern Conference, we've got Furman, who picked up a big win over Mercer over the weekend. I think that might be one of the stories here. And then Greensboro also getting a split, losing a home game to East Tennessee State, bouncing back with a road win at Wofford.
Yeah, these are two teams, Furman and Greensboro, that I think we were expecting a lot out of earlier in the year. And I think we were a little bit disappointed that they didn't get any, like, real big wins out of conference that would have impressed the committee. But Furman, I really think that the talent is still there. They've certainly come to life. They've certainly shown it since starting conference play, albeit they've only played two games. But I think that they're as good as that we is what we thought they were, and they really just missed a few opportunities to get some notable wins.
Yeah, and I think, Mark, the other story here is now Mercer, who we really liked what did non-conference, now sitting in 10th place technically.
Yeah, tough break for Mercer. I think they one of their Neftali Alvarez, he was playing so well, got banged up right before league play started. They've been without him, clearly taking a big dip down in their performance. Obviously, losing to Wofford and Furman, nothing to be ashamed of there. But they need to get him healthy. They need to get back to where they were when they were beating up on Georgia Tech and Georgia State, because those were really excellent wins for them. They get Greensboro this Saturday on the road. So if everybody's healthy, that should be a really good one. As for Greensboro, I just wanted to make a quick mention. Isaiah Miller's been a guy we've gotten familiar with over the years. A lot of people thought he would maybe be player of the year in the SoCon this year. And if you just look at his game by game this year, all four of their losses, he's been pretty inefficient. And he really stepped up in this Wofford win with 15 points, but he also had 13 rebounds, 8 assists. He was everywhere making winning plays. That's what it's going to take for Greensboro to get over the top this year and bounce back from a tough start.
I'll tell you what, though, the other story we haven't mentioned, assuming they're back on the court, the Citadel, 7-0, undefeated, playing this weekend against the team, one of the teams with tied for some or up there with almost the most wins of the nation, Chattanooga, with 10 wins already. Assuming this game's our go, Chattanooga and Citadel, this should be the game of the day, right?
No.
10-2 versus 7-0.
It won't be.
Citadel should finally get some losses.
We'll all be watching, but it will not be the game.
17 combined wins. Come on.
Yeah.
That's a lot of wins there.
It is.
Some of them are against D1 teams.
A couple, not many.
Yeah.
And the Citadel Mercer game earlier this week was because of a Mercer positive case, but I don't know that they had to shut down and all the way to cancel Saturday. So hopefully they can get the Mercer Greensboro game played.
Mercer Greensboro there Saturday. Yep. And then Chattanooga next week for Mercer. Let's jump over to the Southland Conference, where we have a little bit of interesting news coming out today. We discussed earlier this season how Stephen F. Austin actually had an APR ban, should have not been postseason eligible this year, but negotiated with the NCAA to postpone it a year. Today, Stephen F. Austin announced that they are now trying to negotiate with the NCAA to put it back to this year. They want to be ineligible. I don't know that I've ever seen that before, but Stephen F. Austin does not want to play in the postseason. We'll see if the NCAA lets them not play in the postseason so they can play in the postseason.
So they were banned. They appealed to.
I want to laugh, but this is kind of a weak move, and it's a program I've liked for a long time. I'm a little disappointed, but what do you expect?
I don't know.
You got to try what you got to try to get an advantage.
Maybe it's a concession that Abilene Christian really is the best team in this league by a lot.
Or they just want to be able to play in front of fans if they do make the NCAA tournament. But no, that's pretty classic. They negotiated to postpone the ban or to delay it, and now they want to undelay it.
Unnegotiate it, too.
Yeah. Negotiate their postseason ban.
One other big piece of news today, too, from this conference. I don't know if, Chad, you were going to bring it up, but
go ahead.
The conference commissioner is Tom Burnett, and he was named the vice chair of the selection committee. So big news for him in the Southland.
And that's also big because it tends to be that we see a power conference person serving as the chairperson. And I think that means he will be chairman next year. We will have first time in many, many years, an under-the-radar guy as the chairman of the selection committee come next year. Yes. Upcoming games this week, Abilene Christian. I do not see them on the schedule. I don't know if somebody's got had a shutdown there or not, but I do not see them on the schedule for this next week. Austin's got a game there against Central Arkansas.
No game yet.
David, the Southwestern Athletic Conference, where we still have an undefeated overall Alabama A&M team, but
that's ineligible. Well, maybe they could get with Abilene Christian and negotiate their ban.
Stephen F. Austin.
Stephen F. Austin. I'm sorry.
We only saw a couple of games played, including Alabama State. Rocco finally playing, going too, but they finally, another team that finally got some action this week.
Yeah, they got some action, and unfortunately, new head coach Mo Williams wasn't able to join them. He was in quarantine still, so they went with their assistant coach, and unfortunately got beat up pretty good in these two games. But over time, I think Mo's going to bring a lot of attention to the program and probably bring in some talent. And I think it's a good time to be a Hornets fan because, they're only going up from here.
Right. I mean, putting aside Alabama A&M, among the teams that are at least postseason eligible, Texas Southern and Prairie View are the two teams that we thought would be the best this season. And they do have a game scheduled for Saturday. So if you want to watch a little SWAC action regular season, assuming that game is a go, it might not be. But Texas Southern Prairie View.
And we do this every year. On Monday night during the college football championship game, we will be watching the SWAC.
Yes, we got four SWAC games there. Southern, Jackson State, Alabama State, Mississippi Valley. That's a huge, huge game for battles for the worst team in Division I.
Yeah, and we will record the Hoops HD report, and we will have the SWAC on.
Also looks exciting. We may have the basketball version of the Bayou Classic there with Southern and Grambling. So,
all right, yeah.
Love it.
Big week in the SWAC. Rocco, over in the Summit League, we got a few games in this week, although I don't think that we saw anything from South Dakota State. Well, it went over Mount Marty, but nothing else from South Dakota State.
Yeah, South Dakota State, they've shown us the most so far. No league games yet, so we'll see where that goes. They get kind of a soft start with Western Illinois at home. I think that's a two-gamer this week. But as for call-outs, I think I've talked about them a couple times. Oral Roberts, impressive sweep on the road at Omaha.
Nice on the road, yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, just this 1-2 punch of Kevin Obener and Max Abmas, oh, unbelievable. The first game, Obener had 39 and 10, and Abmas chipped in 25. Then in game two, Abmas went off for 37, and Obener had, I think, 23. So, I mean, these guys are just playing a two-man game, and it's pretty dangerous. They got some – I mean, these are potential two pro players playing for Oral Roberts. So a lot of entertainment coming out of ORU.
I also keep a little bit of an eye here on South Dakota. If you remember during the Dakota Showcase, they beat South Dakota State. Sweep over Denver this week. Not a very good Denver team, but they are 2-0 now as well in the conference.
Well, yeah, sweeping Denver means nothing. It means that you're in the top eight.
They swept the only team that they had the chance to sweep this week, David. That's all I
fair enough, yes, but it was Denver.
We have North Dakota Oral Roberts this week, and Rocco mentioned Western Illinois, South Dakota State, South Dakota, Kansas City, assuming these games are a go. David, Sun Belt Conference.
Woohoo!
Scanton should be coming up right there in a second. And we had the big Coastal Carolina-Georgia State series that we talked about last week and ended up being a split.
Yeah. And again, I still really like this Georgia State team. I was impressed with Coastal as well. I didn't think that they were as good as Georgia State going into that series. I mean, they had a little bit of a bloated record, but it was largely built up against non-D1 teams, but really like made a good accounting of themselves. I thought Georgia State would win both and sweep it, but Coastal getting one of the wins. Still like them. And how about the Little Roccos out to a 2-0 start?
Little Roccos after 2-0 start. Everybody else 1-1 pretty much. Louisiana Monroe 2-0 as well. Not a good Louisiana Monroe team, though. They beat a pretty bad Arkansas State team.
Yeah, it was a good week for the Little Roccos, as you guys said. I thought the league showed a lot of balance and parity with these splits. There's some good potential. I think the Louisiana Little Rock series this weekend is going to be great down there in the Cajun Dome. I think they're allowed to get a few fans in there too. So definitely I think that's the series to watch this week.
I'd also keep an eye on, assume if it's a go, the South Alabama Coastal Carolina series, among other things. Every time South Alabama wins, Alabama A&M's net goes up, profile. You know, because the profile goes up. We're going for that two-bit swag, even though it's an ineligible team we wanted for the second bid, you know.
Three-bit swag, yeah.
Three-bit swag.
Three-bit.
I think we have a little trouble with that this year. But, yeah, the Little Rock Louisiana series is a huge one. And Rocco, almost last at least, we have the Western Athletic Conference, and I don't even know what to say at this point about New Mexico State. They simply cannot play a game. I don't know that they're going to get to 13. I don't know if they're going to get to 10 games the way things are going.
I'm with you on that. Yeah, they had another shutdown this week. So now we're on hold for another 15 days. It looks like UT Rio Grande Valley on the 22nd is their next game. Hopefully they get back to practice a little sooner than that. Try to round up some teams in the Southern California, Arizona region where they've been hanging out. But, yeah, I agree. I think they're really going to have to lean on some of these Big West programs to hook up with them in, like, Monday, Tuesday games to make it feasible to get enough games. And they're going to want those games, too, to get their legs back. You saw what happened when they came back after the last layoff and lost to Northridge. So.
Yeah,
we got to get some games for this conference. I think it's the only conference that hasn't had a single conference game yet here in the WAC. Although, Dave, we got to give a shout-out to UTRGV. Beat St. Mary's tonight.
They did. Yes, they did.
St. Mary's of Texas, but it was St. Mary's.
It was St. Mary's.
Blew them out, in fact. But
wow, I mean, again, and just who would have thought that? As good as they've been, you know, wow. Nice win for UT.
Well, Tarleton supposedly is going to get their first WAC game ever coming up here tomorrow night against Grand Canyon, assuming these games are a go.
Man,
who knows?
That's a fun series. You got Coach Gillespie against Bryce Drew. I mean, it doesn't get more whack than that.
Yeah.
Actually, we got one more conference hit. We just wanted to take a look at our standings right now in the one and only Front Range Conference.
Oh, yes.
Even though half the teams aren't even technically under the radar, we don't care.
Right.
We still have Wyoming and Colorado tied for first place overall. But you know, Colorado State, huge win tonight over UNLV. I know Rocket would go to a little, but
not a conference game, though.
But we might be looking at potential two NCAA tournament teams in the Front Range here with both with Colorado and Colorado State.
Absolutely. And you can't count Northern Colorado out in the Big Sky tournament. So maybe we could hit the trifecta.
Yeah, you can't count Denver out of the Summit League tournament.
You can, yeah.
This league, because the Ivy League not getting an automatic bid, this league getting two automatic bids this year.
Two automatic bids. No conference games on the schedule for this week, but we'll keep an eye out for next week.
Right.
A couple big tests. Colorado's got Utah, and we'll continue to keep you updated.
So some big out-of-conference games right there, the Colorado-Utah game.
Colorado State, San Jose State. Yeah.
No,
let's go to our top 10 list. So under the radar top 10 list, we all submitted ballots. We've got a lot of teams that got votes that did not make our top 10 this week. They include Liberty falling out of the top 10 with their loss to Lipscomb, along with Bowling Green, Missouri State, Wright State, Akron, Siena, Chattanooga, and UAB, getting a little love. The undefeated Siena team. Unfortunately, the undefeated Citadel team did not get a single vote. I don't know what's wrong here. They might get votes next week if they're still undefeated.
If they're undefeated, they might get all the votes next week.
We have tied for ninth, South Dakota State. We just talked about the Summit League and Belmont over in the Ohio Valley Conference. And then coming in above them at number eight, we have Georgia State. We just discussed them in the Sun Belt Conference. Yeah. A very good team. We have set a tie for sixth place between Loyola Chicago and Marshall. The Thundering Herd there out of Conference USA. Coming in at number five then, we have Toledo, a team that we really undervalued last week. Rocco, I think I overvalued them this week just to kind of make up for that. But when you look at the actual resume, you were right last week. That I think this Toledo team absolutely deserves to be up here and up pretty high on this top 10 list.
Yeah, they're definitely on the radar. They're even on the bracketology board right now. So well-deserved so far.
Coming at number four, we have Furman out of the SoCon, still up there near the top of the standings. Number three, the team had been number one all season. Off of their series in Charlotte, they have finally dropped out of that number one spot. Western Kentucky down to number three.
I still think they're the best team.
If they sweep Louisiana Tech this week, they might be right back up there, number one.
It's a fair argument. We don't have a lot of data to go with.
Number two, Winthrop. They were the team at the top of the show here started with the big undefeated out of there, out of the Big South. A very good team. And I don't think there's much surprise who number one is, though. A team that may not be on this list anymore because they'll make the top 25. Drake coming in at number one.
Wow. Who would have thought?
What a surprise. I guess on that note, I will go ahead and pull this down here. Let's go to any other final thoughts. And Rocco, I'll go to you.
Yeah, just a few small nuggets. First of all, I would just like to give Morehead State a shout out. Not only did they win tonight, but last week they snapped a 25-game home winning streak for Murray State and a 13-game losing streak themselves at Murray State. So, big momentous win for the Eagles, an improving program this year. Next, ETSU, also a big week with their 2-0 start, one at Greensboro. Jason Shea, brand new head coach, a lot of new players, and struggled a little bit in non-league, coming out strong in the SoCon at 2-0. Last but not least, another JUCO sensation down at Louisiana Monroe is Mr. Harrison, Russell Harrison. He played two huge games, and even though UL Monroe doesn't have a lot of expectations, neither does Arkansas State, it was still impressive to me. They swept them, and he's playing so well right out of JUCO. So congrats, Warhawks.
Yeah, well, there we go. That undefeated in-conference Monroe team probably won't be next week. David, you want to finish us off here?
Yeah, and again, about our number one team, Drake, one of the better under-the-radar stories, but potentially one of the better stories in college basketball. This was a team that when we looked at the Valley at the beginning of the year that I thought some of us thought they might be okay, but I don't think we thought they'd be this good. They've just been blowing teams off the court. They look really good. They pass the eye test, and if they can get into the rankings, they're suddenly going to be a national story. It isn't just this good under-the-radar team that people were unfamiliar with. It was a team that even under-the-radar fans were not familiar with coming into the year. So it's just been fun to see them have the kind of year that they're having. It's been a long dry spell. It didn't happen. Almost in any given season, there's going to be under-the-radar teams that crack the top 25, sometimes multiple teams. Didn't happen last year, hasn't happened yet this year. If it's going to be anybody, it's probably going to be them, and what a story that is.
Yeah, when we look at the top 25 polls, both of them, other than Loyola Chicago, Loyola Chicago got like one vote in the coaches poll. Drake is the only team that got any votes among all these teams that we discussed tonight. Other than a couple of front range teams, but they don't quite
count. Right, yeah.
On that note, I do want to take the chance here to thank everybody for joining us. On behalf of Rocco Miller joining us from Bracketeer.org, David Griggs joining us from wherever the heck David Griggs joins us from, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back again next week. I believe we're going to have a treat next week. We're going to actually have three podcasts we'll be recording as we are going to be starting to do our bracket rundown shows, as well as the Hoops HD report on Monday, and Under the Radar back next week on its normal night on Wednesday night. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.